It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Milt Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Want to talk about what happened in Game 3 and what you think's going to happen in Game 4 with the Knicks and the Celtics. 888-808-1019. Lines are open for that critical basketball game. Every game they play from here on out, it's the most important game that they have played in a very long time. We could say that about each one of these games. You're going to get the Subway Series at the end of this week and this weekend as well, which is going to be more intense than usual because of all the Juan Soto stuff.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's
yes.
Going to be awesome. And that's exactly what you want. You got two first place baseball teams. You got the Stars doing their things, and Soto's starting to heat up, and you know, a lot of question marks still surround the Yankees and a couple of their injured guys. They should be coming back relatively soon with Stanton and LeMahieu, which presents a problem, I think, for Aaron Boone and what to do with Ben Rice, because he's been right in the middle of a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a really good run, and I don't know what they're going to do, but you know, usually things tend to work out, as you say.
Yeah,
but somebody else may get injured. You never know. I don't know. Can Ben Rice play an actual position?
Yeah, I mean, I know you said he came up as a catcher. You mentioned that. I mean, I haven't seen him out there doing much else. So you're gonna. I mean, at this point in the season, it's gonna be hard for him to learn any other defensive skills. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly where he's played in the minors. I just know that when he's up there and he's got a bat in his hand as a DH, he's been huge for them. And Aaron Judge keeps chugging along, leading every offensive category in the league, on pace now for even a better offensive season than he had a couple of years ago in the contract year. It is absolutely wild what's going on with him. And of course, Soto out there in right field at Yankee Stadium.
It's going to be great.
That's going to be something.
You think he'll get a curtain call or whatever they call that?
He's not getting a roll call by the Yankee fans. They might give an F. Juan Soto roll call. You might get one of those. But
I mean, every one of those Yankee fans out there would have done exactly what Juan Soto did, take the most money.
Yeah, I mean, they'll tell you.
The Yankees were dabbling, but the Yankees really weren't. They didn't want to spend that kind of money on that player. And look at the players that they spent the money on instead of Juan Soto and how good those players
have
been.
Max Fried being the number one.
Well, yeah. And Paul Goldschmidt and Cody Bellinger, they've been all right in the mix. They've been healthy, and they've been productive.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I saw a post where someone was like, it was a Met fan like blog or whatever. It's like, anybody actually worried about Juan Soto's safety out there?
Come on. It's a baseball player, for God's sake. And he gave the Yankee fans a lot of great memories.
Hey, before the Yankees, the Mets get the Pirates, get Bucko Baseball.
You get Paul Skeens tonight.
Oh, yeah.
He's worth the price of admission, man.
Paul Skeens, man. This guy is. He definitely is. And that's the only time that the Pirates have any chance to win is when he's on the mound. And they just fired their manager, so they got a little boost.
I mean, they fired their manager. Colorado fired Bud Black.
Yeah.
They're what, 7-23?
Yes, 33. I was going to say
7-33. They are a quarter of the way through the season.
Mm-hmm.
7-33.
Horrendous.
Think about that for a second.
Horrendous. Yeah, I mean, was that worse than what the White Sox were last year at this time?
I think it's close.
Yeah, I mean, it just about is.
Well, the good news for the White Sox is that, you know, Pope Leo, he's a White Sox fan.
Yeah, they actually found him at the 2005 World Series. Someone was able to find the video of him there at the 2005 World Series where the White Sox beat the Astros.
We all know he went to Villanova.
Mm-hmm. That is right.
So you would hope that the Villanova 3 would actually show up.
Yeah, they did not on Saturday when everybody talked about that on Friday, Thursday. Yeah,
hopefully
and Friday.
Everybody just, you know, takes a deep breath this morning, wakes up and gets ready to rock and roll and just play basketball, man. Like, you guys can play. They can play. I mean, look, I know the Celtics are great, but, you know, you got to go toe-to-toe with them. You got to fight with them, and you're the underdog. You got to scratch. You got to claw for everything. And, you know, they got to get other guys involved. You know, OG Anunoby's got to get involved. He's got to shoot more. Like, we're all talking about we're not getting enough from Cat. You're not getting enough from Anunoby. There's only so many shots that can go around.
And you know what they say?
No, what do they say?
It's only one basketball.
It's true, and it's usually in the hands of Jalen Brunson, and he's distributing.
That is right.
It's going to be interesting to see what Tibbs does tonight. It really is.
You really think he's going to change anything?
You know, I mean, I thought he had a really good game in Game 2. especially towards the end of the game.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we all lauded him for that. This game got out of whack in the first quarter.
Yeah, I would like to see him start Mitchell Robinson. I think that would be a change I would make. Outside of that, I don't even know if he's going to consider that. But yeah, I mean, we talk about this though, like strategy and coaching changes and substitutions and all this stuff. But then it just comes down to, are the Celtics going to hit their threes or not? You know what I mean?
And are the Knicks going to hit their threes?
I mean, that's really what it is. Are they going to, with these uncontested shots, these contested shots, are they going to start off like 10 of 14 like they did, the Celtics, or are they going to go ice cold like they did in games one and two? I mean,
Well, the other thing, too, is that when Mitchell Robinson's out there and he's on the high pick and roll, there's really no offense coming from him in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's just out there, you know, to create separation for whoever the ball handler is, and most of the time it's Jalen Brunson. But if you throw the ball to Mitchell Robinson, and we saw it in this game three, you got to throw it to him up at the rim because that's where he's good at it. If you give it to him where he's 10, 20 feet away from the basket, he's just not going to do anything with it.
No, he's got to get the...
There's not an offensive option when he's in the basketball court, unless it's around the rim, offensive rebound, alley-oop, that type of thing.
He's one of two-plus players on the team in this series. The other is Deuce McBride.
Which is amazing.
Yes, it is.
But if you give him the ball away from the basket...
He's got to get rid of it.
It's Hakimich.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's got to get rid of it as soon
and
as
possible. By the way, you know, that... I will say, I know that there was a loophole that Richard Jefferson was doing the game.
Yep.
He was talking about the loophole under 2 minutes where you can't do Hakimich unless he's near the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the loophole. And as soon as Porzingis saw that they were running a pick and roll, guess what he did?
Yep.
He hacked Mitch.
Because he was near the ball.
So, you know, this my thing would be at the end, you know, once you get under 2 minutes, don't use him as your pick and roll guy. Stick him in the corner.
That would be a nice little coaching adjustment.
That would be.
Put him in the corner. All right, let's get a couple.
Or don't have him on the court.
Yeah, that too.
On offense.
We got tickets to see The Who at Prudential Center in August this hour, so listen for that. That should be a good one, giving away tickets. This morning, let's go to Tony in New Jersey. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, guys. You guys are great. I love listening to you every day. Hey, you got one thing wrong, though.
Yeah.
This Porzingis jersey in the freezer?
Yes.
That's a hockey thing. It's not going to translate. What you need to do, this is even better, you need to put a Mitchell Robinson jersey in the oven.
Mm. Oh, boy.
And then turn it on?
Turn the heat up.
Yeah.
Well, no, not necessarily.
Yeah. Okay.
But. Yeah, you know, I mean, I can't help him with his free throws.
I mean, is an oven really an oven if you're not turning it on? You can't, no heat's coming out of it.
Yeah.
I don't think that would work. You have to turn the oven on and
I'm
put the jersey in there.
I'm not turning the oven on.
That wouldn't make any sense. Yeah.
I mean, I'm putting the Porzingis jersey in the freezer. That's definitely happening.
Yeah, I mean.
I might as well at this point.
Have you ever done it with any other sport?
Yeah, I put, who did the Mets play in, who did they play in the NL East Championship in 2015?
2000 and the Cubs.
Yes. I had a bunch of Cubs guys. I had Bryant. I think I had, Chris Bryant? Yeah, I put his jersey in there.
They swept them.
Yeah.
Okay.
How you doing?
That works.
How you doing over here?
Yeah, pretty good. Joey's in the Bronx. What's going on, Joey?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
All right. How you doing, Joey?
I'm doing good. Listen, bye-bye, Soto. Let the Mets keep him for 15 years. They got 6 good years maybe out of him. We got the world. Remember what happened with Herschel Walker with the Cowboys. So we wouldn't have what we have today if we kept Herschel, if we kept Juan. And I think we need Max Fried more than we need Juan Soto right now.
Yeah, I think Max Fried has been the signing of the offseason thus far.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early to make those type of proclamations. However, you got to remember with Herschel Walker, that was a trade. I mean, all this, now, Juan Soto left in free agency.
I know this is kind of a trade in free agency. Like the Yankees playing around. Oh, yeah, maybe we'll go to $700 million, but we know the Mets are going to go to $765 million, and they're going to give him a suite for his family.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
We're gonna let them do that because we don't do that for our players. And our player is the best player in baseball, and Aaron Judge, who is a 5-tool player, by the way. And we'll pay him half the money, and then we'll give that money that we're supposed to be giving to Juan Soto to Max Fried and, you know, to Cody Bellinger. I mean, you think about this, what they've done.
Yeah.
They've done a good job up to this point, but we're a quarter of the way through the season.
Yeah, I mean, really.
You know what? We got a long way to go.
Yeah, we definitely do have a long way to go, but it's going to be.
It's what I tell you, like after the 10th hole. Mm. Like you're moping around.
Most of the time, yes.
You're out there and you're pissing and moaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, dude, we got a long way to go.
Got a long way to go.
Win the next two holes, boom, we're right back into it.
That's right.
And it usually happens.
It does usually happen. You know, it's one of those things that it's an athlete mindset that I haven't been able to get to yet. I lean on you for this.
Yes.
You know, like you're a guy who you throw an interception. You're like, okay, forget about it. Go back out there. We're going to have a touchdown drive. Next drive, I get the ball.
Let's overcome it.
Right. Whereas me, I'm like, all right, but put one in the water. Now I'm never going to be able to hit the ball again in my life, and I should just go home. See, I have to get your mentality.
Yes.
And it's just.
But it has proven true time and again.
Yeah.
Time and again, it has proven true. The only time that it really didn't prove true that I can remember, that I can specifically remember, is when we lost a softball game over in Seaview. That was a complete and utter disaster. That was a disaster.
Mm. It
and
was.
There was nothing. I felt like the Knicks in the first quarter. I mean, like it was over before you even knew it.
Yeah, I did. I played through injury, though. I did.
It meant a lot to you.
With the pulled quad, you moved me over to first base there. But it's grounded into a couple double plays. So I couldn't run with the pulled quad, but I fought through it. It would have been nothing worse than going out of that game and sitting there with an ice pack on. I had to go through it. I had to show that I was there for you and there for the team. And that experience there was the end of that team.
Yeah, unlike Al Dukes, who took himself out of the game because of a pregame injury.
Yeah.
Well, my bone almost snapped.
Right.
Didn't snap.
Got
you had a
big
bump on your shin.
Yeah, inflamed, probably cracked.
Deep bone bruise.
Deep bone bruise is what it was.
You know, yeah. I got hit with a golf ball in my shin, just like you got hit with your softball. I don't know which is worse. Softball a little bit bigger, for sure.
Much bigger.
But not nearly as hard.
Well, in fairness, it was actually the really hard balls we were using in batting practice.
Right. And I got hit with a golf ball off of somebody's 5-iron.
Mm. Going all really fast, too. 100-some
miles
an hour.
And it hit me square in the shin.
Oh.
And that was, I was getting ready to tee off. And that hit, that it happened on my first hole.
I got hit by Tom Izzo, very big man. He's the one who had all that power behind it.
Yeah, but I didn't quit. You know, I went out there and I continued to play.
Izzo is a big son of a bitch, man.
He is. He's thick.
I saw a picture of him from like years ago. And like he's definitely, he's not, it's not like fat weight. He got bulky. He's been lifting. It's huge.
Look at Al's leg.
It's very dainty. Dainty ankles. I mean, look at it. It's
very thin.
It's like he's got stilts.
What are you doing? Who are you texting, Gina? I got hurt before the game. I'm not going to play.
Just texting the press. Let them know.
You know, one of my favorite things that goes on X that I've never even brought up. It's Al versus local newspapers. He goes after his local newspapers like you wouldn't believe. The Asbury Park Press and then
the Patch?
No, the other one that you hate.
It's now NJ.com,
yeah,
but
right.
It was the Starlet. I had to unfollow both of them because they post stupid things that don't make sense. They'll be like, what day of the week is Mother's Day on? And then I have to click an article for that? That doesn't.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, their clickbait stuff is terrible. And you pointed out, I would never have known if you didn't point it out. And I'm like, you know what? He's got a point here. But he goes after those local newspapers. You would love to go in there and revamp that whole situation.
Oh, I'd love
to
go in and run the Asbury Park Press. He's had focus on local stories. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
What are they focusing on?
Well, it's a lot of like, the Knicks play tonight. What channel are they on? And then you have to click an article.
That's a good question.
But just tell me the channel.
Baseball, though, right?
Yeah, well, they do it for everything. They'll be like, what day of the week is Thanksgiving this year? It's like, well, it's always Thursday. What kind of question? When is summer? We're at the Jersey Shore. We know when the summer is.
That's actually, that's the one I saw. It was like, when does summer start?
You sound like you don't like the editor.
I don't like the fact that they're, yeah, like it's clickbaity type stuff
yeah,
for
but
no
they,
reason.
They have to do that in they order to know, get.
Well, they can actually say, here's an actual news story about the local area. Let's click on, I will click on that.
Okay.
Oh, here's one for you. Asbury Park Press 2 hours ago. Should New Jersey upend tipping culture?
Oh, sounds like right, that's right up your alley.
For that.
Might have to refollow them, huh? You know what? You're right, though. What channel is the NBA draft lottery on? You're right. Crazy. I mean, that's when is the New York Jets schedule released? Yeah.
It's a lot of questions that then you're supposed to click on.
Yeah, you're right. How many episodes are left in the final season of The Handmaid's Tale? You are right about this. You're not just making this up.
And but so in order to get, I like to get local news, and they'll occasionally do a local news story, but it's too much to fight through to get it.
Fight through.
Well, it's like they tweet a lot, and then most of it's useless. Yeah, we need to fix that.
Yeah. Go right in there. I'd love for you to just show up at their building, like their brick-and-mortar building, walk in there and like have some suggestions.
It's probably no one there. You know what I mean? It's like it's everyone's working from home.
True. Yeah, young kids pumping out these articles.
Or the local papers, they take the national news feeds. Like, I don't need the local newspaper to tell me about Trump's tariffs. Tell me about the local restaurants in town.
That is right.
How about the way that Trump's tariffs would affect you locally?
Perfect.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, right.
If at all.
Yeah, we got a lot of great local Long Island stuff going on.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, Newsday does a really good job, local Long Island. These guys from Greater Long Island, they have Greater Bayshore, Greater Sayville, Greater Patchogue. They got all that. They do a great job covering stuff. News 12, yeah. They're in the mix.
Yeah, we're in the mix.
Got a lot of local stuff there on Long Island. Great job.
By the way, speaking of local stuff, when does the NFLOS start?
June.
Oh, it's June. Okay.
Yeah, the first game's in June. I don't think they have or they've announced their with the jerseys that were announced.
Yes.
And Peter Schwartz wanted us to break the story of the jerseys, and we did not do that.
Yeah.
He wanted us to put them up on the screen. So you can have this. I'll break the embargo for you guys. I was like, that's okay, Peter. We don't want to do that to you. You know, you have your little 2 p.m. thing at the VFW hall, and
that's your thing.
Show everybody the jerseys. But I don't think they've announced who the concert is at the end of the first game, but yeah, it starts in June. I forget who they play, but I'll get you all the information. Why, you want to go?
No.
First game?
Nope.
We're invited.
I am. I'm sure we are.
I'm sure we are.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Stay tuned. We're giving away Who tickets. Tickets to see the Who at Prudential Center coming up in August. Yeah, the Who. All right, we've got Jerry Recco. He's got another update for us. What's going on, Jerry?
Yeah, we're going to talk some NFL now, sure. So this was Jerry Jones the other day talking to the new rookies of the Cowboys, and it had people thinking that the Cowboys were going to open their season with the Giants.
We need you to be smart and come in here and dig and go for it and get it out so we can line up against the Giants with you. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
And you're doing it for all of us when you do it. Congratulations on being a Dallas Cowboy.
So everyone just kind of assumed that they'd be up, but we find out now from Adam Schefter, it'll be Cowboys-Eagles, September 4th, Thursday Night Football.
A little bit, Jerry, what do you think?
Well, he likes to beat those giant asses. So
he
maybe
does.
He's got the Giants on his mind.
Beat
Plus, what do you think they know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, for real?
100%.
Oh, okay.
Well, beat the New York Giants ass.
Yeah, I think almost all the teams, you know what they're doing, but they're sworn to secrecy. And maybe some things do come out on their own websites here and there. But, they're trying to make that schedule release show something significant, which it's turned out to be.
Which is cool, except for the fact that I heard you say the NBC games come out today. I think there are games tomorrow released.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, primetime games. I don't know what there's going to be left on Wednesday night.
Well, I mean, just the home games, the times, and, you know, which games could be moved late in the season. You know, and then I think the networks also probably already know, and I'm sure there's been fighting going on behind the scenes for Fox and CBS on Sunday. You want to protect, you know, those broadcasts as well.
Hey, Stephen Waldron, CBS Sports, are we announcing any games on Wednesday? No. Hello?
He left.
Oh, he left.
He left.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went down to DJ to go look at the place.
Oh, he's working. Okay.
All right, very good.
Yeah, technically.
All right, so Andrew, are we giving away or not giving away? Are we announcing any games on Wednesday? It says CBS will announce select games on Wednesday morning.
So Stephen will be back on Wednesday.
Okay.
Right. And he'll have all the news.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That's what you're all passing the buck right now.
Yeah.
I just remember those guys.
100%.
Yes. Those guys are not spokespeople for CBS.
No. I know that. I just thought I've heard that. I just thought that maybe we'd get to announce a game. Like, I think Nate's going to announce one on CBS this morning. I thought maybe we'd announce one.
Oh, we should get one. That'd be fun.
I mean, we got Boomer Esiason here, for God's sake.
Like, one day. He's not past prime, though. Past prime.
Huh? You're past your prime?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean by that? What does that have to do with
it? I mean, I usually give you a little tidbit here and there. Didn't I tell you about Netflix and Christmas?
Yeah.
Netflix and chilling on Christmas. I told you that.
But why are you past your prime? I don't understand. I think you're right. In your prime.
Yeah, you know.
Can announce a game, whether you're past your prime or not. We can get a game from them.
You got 12 years left before you retire.
Oh,
you're
I see.
Right in the middle of your prime.
That's right. 12 years. Okay.
Wow. I saw a nun was 118 years old the other day, so there's hope.
Is she collecting Social Security?
Right. Sure. 118. It means you're only at the halfway point.
Yes.
That's great.
Okay.
At least
perfect.
12 more years. Friday night, September 5th, Chargers Chiefs. I don't know if that's been announced, but that is the hot rumor. That's in Brazil. From the Giants, Jackson Dart was asked. So they were talking about, you know, some of the clips that went out there of him and Brian Daboll in the pre-draft meetings that they had. And then the follow-up question was, you know, how familiar were you with the Giants, and did you see the off-season Hard Knocks and everything that went on there?
No, quite honestly, I didn't watch it all, but I just saw, like, clips of it on TikTok. So. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, is that not today's...
So, yeah, mm-hmm. but this kid knows social media, so that means he saw Gio's rant.
maybe not. You don't know.
He had to see it.
You don't know what ended up in his algorithm.
You never know.
His name is Jackson Dart, and you were talking about Jackson Dart. So Jackson Dart would end up in his algorithm,
maybe.
I guarantee you.
You don't know.
Meantime, the Saints need a new starting quarterback, as Derek Carr did announce his retirement over the weekend. Here was their head coach, Kellen Moore.
First of all, you respect and appreciate so much that Derek's done in this league, and for the way he's done it, the on-the-field performance, the off-the-field person that he's showcased.
All of that.
I wonder this, because it actually does help the Saints in terms of their salary cap relief. He gets a $10 million bonus that they gave him in March, but he doesn't get the $30 million that was guaranteed him as a player this year, which he could have accepted. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if he's filing for some sort of career-ending injury, which he would have to prove to an insurance company if he took out insurance on himself.
Yeah. Told the congregation he's got proof.
That's right. He's got proof. Remember that?
So it sounds to me like, you know, there's probably got to be some sort of, I would think, insurance settlement coming along soon if he bought it himself, which would mean tax-free.
So their three quarterbacks now are Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, and Jake Haner.
I think it's I think that's his name. That's how it's pronounced properly.
Good luck to
him. Yeah.
Whatever you call them. So those are the three there. All right, basketball-wise, you got the Knicks and Celtics tonight. Game 4 Eastern Conference semifinals. I don't know what this is in relation to. Unless it's about his free throw shooting, I don't know. This was Mitchell Robinson posting a video on Instagram yesterday.
Oh, all right.
So he's outside walking towards his truck, and he, I might not have bleeped it. Just be ready, Eddie. Here is Mitchell Robinson. This is how he opens up.
So, I know y'all commenting and doing all the stupid stuff, thinking that I really care. I really don't.
Okay, so then he takes a couple more steps. This is where I might have missed the bleep.
Playing basketball. And my daughter. All those stuff I really don't care for.
Mm. And then he would conclude.
Y'all should know me by now. I've been here 7 years. Y'all know how this go, man. But anyway, happy Mother's Day. Y'all enjoy yourself.
And then he gave the camera the finger and turned it off.
You know, weird. I got to say that most Knicks fans, I think, are feeling for him and trying to help him.
Yeah, but it's not the Knicks fans that are going after him.
I wouldn't
on
think
social
so.
Media. You know?
I think the Knicks fan loves him.
I hope so, but I don't know. Yeah, and, but then he...
I don't know. Unless
so he's
getting,
doing this to other NBA fans that are all over him because he can't hit free throws?
Oh, well, you also had... Who said he should be shooting underhand?
Oh, lots of people.
No, it was just
several callers.
Was it Rick Barry? That's all right. Thanks, Al. Rick Barry said it, and there was an article written about it just like yesterday.
So yeah, in other words, but he's not going to help him now change what he's been doing. That would have to be in the off season.
He should try to headbutt it in.
It can't be worse.
I mean, honestly,
just throw it up there, dunk.
I really
some entertainment.
I think they were saying it, you know, on the broadcast on Saturday that you know the whole place is like rooting for him.
Yeah.
Because they all know, we've all seen this before from other players.
Did he address his tiny feet and then Instagram post?
That was the whole post.
Oh, okay.
There was
thought maybe he'd get to that. Yeah.
Here was Al Horford. What was different in game three as you guys came away with the win?
We had much better poise. This game, poise was key for us. I feel like we really, you know, executed when we needed to.
And they were able to close out the game.
There was a point in the fourth quarter where, you know, maybe the Knicks were getting ready to try to make a run. And Jason Tatum came down and shot the ball with like 13 seconds on the shot clock and missed the three. And then Mazzulla called timeout like after the next Knick bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that Mazzulla said, all right, guys, can we take the shot clock down below 10? Do we have to run down? Like,
yeah.
We're up by 30.
Yeah, and that's what happened to them in games one and two.
Exactly.
Is they kept missing those threes.
We're
probably what
up
happened.
By 30. Yeah. We don't have to just keep, you know, chucking these balls up with this amount of time left on the shot clock.
Pacers beat the Cavaliers 129-109 in a game that wasn't that close. So Indiana up 3-1, and the Thunder beat the Nuggets 92-87 to even up that series at two games apiece. Baseball at Citi Field on Mother's Day. You had the Mets beating the Cubs.
First pitch, line to center field. That's a base hit. Alonso hits third. They'll hold him there, but now the ball bobbled by Crow Armstrong, who picks it up and throws to the plate too late. Alonso scores standing. Holding it first is Vientos. He has his second hit of the game, and the Mets have increased their lead to 4-2 over the Cubs here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
How about the Cubs lineup?
Yeah.
Everybody's got like 7 or 8 or 9 home runs.
Yeah, they're good.
They're all driving in 25 or more runs.
This was the best pitching staff against the one of the best offenses in the game this weekend.
Yeah.
And if we heard about Pete Crow Armstrong being drafted by the Mets one more time, my God.
Oh, my God.
I know.
One of those bad trades, but it is what it is. I mean, we all thought that the trade when it was made was great.
Took a shot.
And then it turned out to be thumbs down.
Yes.
Thumbs down.
Very well said. That's exactly right. But thumbs up for the Mets yesterday. They win 6-2. That was the Vientos single. You had home runs from Lindor and Nimmo in that eighth inning as well. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Loved it.
Yeah, a lot of good at-bats. Starts with Lindor, you know, facing a tough righty there. Gets in a good hitter's count. Gets a breaking ball 3-1. And he hits it out of the ballpark. And then we continue to put together some really good at-bats.
I know we don't talk about Friday, but he'd lead off the game in the first inning with the home run again Friday. So pretty good. Mets 26-15. They are home for the Pirates. We know they fired their manager the other day as they're off to a bad start. David Peterson, the start tonight, 8:80 a.m. Mets Odyssey Radio at 7:10. As for the Yankees, they beat up the A's in the rubber game there in Sacramento.
2-2 driven in a deep left field, rising near the wall. That ball is off the base of the wall. Judge around third. Easily scores. Bellinger up to third. How about Paul Goldschmidt? Slides in his second with his second double today.
Yeah.
And the Yankees pouring it on an 11-1 lead.
Oh, they won 12-2. Emmanuel Babari and Susan.
You can sit on my face.
You're on the fan. Yeah. They scored 5 runs in the second, 5 in the fifth. Here was Ben Rice with Susan. He had a grand slam. Talks about playing in the Sacramento Park.
I enjoyed it. It was really hot. I mean, that was the only thing. But the facilities are great. The field's solid. I mean, can't ask for much more. So,
yeah. So, Yankees 23-17. Ryan Yarbrough in 5 innings for the win. Tonight, New York in Seattle on the fan at 9 p.m. We've talked a lot about the Mets and being 26-15, and it feels like they've obviously controlled the NL East. But you look up, and the Phillies have won 7 of their last 9, including a win last night.
The 2-1 swung on, hit deep, center field. Martinez back at the wall, out of room. It's gone, and Schwarber has gone deep again.
Yeah, okay. 14th home run of the season for Kyle Schwarber, who's been a power machine. The Phillies wound up winning that game 3-0 over Cleveland, so they are a game and a half behind the Mets in the NL East. And then this happened, the Rockies beat the Padres 9-3 on Sunday, but on Saturday, not so good.
High fly ball, right center field. It is back towards the bullpen, and it's going to run up against the wall. Cronenworth making his way around the bases. He will score the 21st run of the game for the Padres.
21-0. And this was hours after, I guess, Bud Black was given a vote of confidence from the GM saying he wasn't going anywhere. And then they lose 21-0 and he was fired. They did win yesterday 9-3, as we mentioned. Here's their third baseman, Ryan McMahon, on Bud Black being let go.
It's the only manager I've ever known. I have a great relationship with him, so it's tough. I don't think it was his fault much. I don't think we played our capabilities.
No,
they're playing Cher in the background.
Yes. What are they, 6-34? Does that sound right? 6-35? Something. Think about how terrible that is.
7-33.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty awful.
That is worse than...
Than the White Sox
the
face
White
last
Sox
year?
Last year. Yeah, so on May 11th last year, the White Sox were 12-28.
And what is the number for the Rockies?
They are 7-33.
7-33.
And they're 19 and a half games out of first place behind the Dodgers.
All right, so not that far out.
Why are they playing Cher? Do you believe in life after love?
I don't know. But that was after a win.
Yeah.
So good for them. Stars beat the Jets 5-2. Panthers shut out the Maple Leafs 2-0. And the Golden Knights goal, not worth playing because they had to review it. So there's nothing.
Yeah, Riley Smith, man, it was a great play, man. And all of a sudden, comes out of nowhere, gets a rebound, and boom, 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 0.3 to go, and they win the game.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Did you say hello to Joe Burrow from us?
No, unfortunately, he got the flu over the weekend.
Oh, get out of here, really?
Yeah, he did.
Give it to him?
I did not. I think he may have gotten it from the Met Gala.
Oh, really?
Right. Wow. So I felt so bad for his executive director, Amy, who put a lot of that together, and it's a huge undertaking. But his parents were great. They were lovely and treated me great. Loved it. Saw Chris Collinsworth, David Fulcher. Saw Dave Lapham, of course. I told him to play a lot of his cuts here on WFAN.
That's right.
And he was with his partner, Dan Horde, who calls the Bengals games for them. One of the interesting things going through Cincinnati's airport, there's a Bengals restaurant. I don't know if the Bengals have expanded into owning their own restaurant now or something.
Well, they would have to. I mean, if it's called the Bengals restaurant.
Well, yeah, or either that or they're licensing their name to somebody who's running the restaurant at the airport.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to think. But it was great to go back. Saw a lot of old buddies of mine, and the guy that picked me up, Jay Schumacher, great guy. Refreshed my memory about a lot of different things. He owned a floor company, and he did all the wood floors in my house back in the day.
Get out of here.
Back in the 80s, yep.
Wow.
And met him, and now he owns a company called StairTech. And StairTech is available at 7,000 different locations, including Home Depot and Lowe's.
Yeah.
I had no idea. The guy's a brilliant businessman. So
there was six salespeople that just pulled their hamstrings running to their email.
Forget that. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I did, the house that the party was at the night before the golf tournament was a beautiful home, big French Normandy home overlooking the Ohio River. Got a chance to see Joe Burrow's house, the one that got broken into.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting because I saw the gated community that he lives in, and I'm thinking, how in the world did these guys get into his house? And the only thing I can think of is...
Inside job?
It's either an inside job, they had to know somebody who's building other homes or something in that area, or they just knew how to get up the back of the hill because their houses are up on bluffs overlooking the beautiful Ohio River overlooking Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
And, there's no way to get through the gated community. So they had to come up from behind the house, I would think. Great golf course. And this is a guy after my own heart. So there's a company called Penn Station out in Cincinnati. And it's a sub shop, like a Subway.
Yeah.
And it's privately held. And the guy who owns it built this golf course, Stone Lick Golf Course. Stone Lick Hills. He built the golf course by himself.
Oh, wow.
And he's built it.
Designed it himself?
Designed it, the whole thing. Damn. Built the whole thing for himself. And it's a public golf course, but it's kept immaculate. So it's like going to Ferry Point, Bally's Ferry Point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful public golf course. And you know how much it costs for a round of golf there?
$50.
$80.
Yeah, that's
or
still
85
very,
bucks.
Very, very cheap.
Still
yes.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Compared to what, here, what we have to pay. I'm sure Bethpage, as for New York residents, somewhat similar. But then he's also building another private course within the area. I mean, I couldn't believe how the Cincinnati in general has exploded.
Yeah, absolutely. You always said that things were like 20 years behind there.
Even so. Anymore, they caught up, and I saw a Trey Hendricks house up on this bluff, and I'm like, wow. And the bluff is on the Kentucky side of the river that overlooks the bridge and overlooks the city. It's amazing views.
You think we could rob that one?
No.
Get up there?
No. I don't know, but I would hope that he signs a contract so he can live in it.
For sure. Let's go to Maria, who's in Dallas. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. I can't believe you took my call.
Yes, we did.
Hi, Maria. What's happening?
Nothing. You know, I don't even watch sports except for football. I just love your show so much. You guys crack me up. I watch you every morning. It is insane. I don't even know who you're talking about half the time. I just love watching.
Well, neither does Al, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you and Al have something in common.
You could probably produce this show, Maria, just like he does.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I'm from Jersey, so yeah, I mean, I know all the places you talk about because I'm from the East Coast, but oh, my God. But, you know, my son, though, happens to be going to Morehead State where Phil Simms went. He's going to play Division I ball. And I always hope, man, maybe there's one day they'll talk about Mike. No, I'm joking. That would be like 4 years, 5 years from now. You never know.
Does he want to wear number 11?
Yeah, he doesn't want to wear number 11, does he?
No, he's O-line. He's not a quarterback or anything, but Solomon Thomas came out of my high school, so there's always that hope.
Very good, Maria. That's awesome. We appreciate the kind words.
Yeah,
and
I love
keep
you
watching.
Guys. You're so funny. You guys have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Maria.
You too. Hope you had a great Mother's Day, Maria.
See, this is what happens when you move to Texas.
That's right. Everybody's just nice.
You get happy.
I used to be there on the East Coast, and then I was miserable, but now I'm here, and I'm happy.
Right.
This is great.
Well, New York's the melting pot. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
People from all around the world come here, including my grandparents.
Absolutely.
And they come here to hate each other.
I will say, though, we took a drive out to West Hampton yesterday for Mother's Day and ate at a great restaurant out there. We stopped at Cupsog Beach beforehand. And it, I mean,
Cupsog Beach, how many people think they know where that is?
What do you mean?
I mean, you and I know where it is.
Yeah.
And Long Islanders know where it is.
Right, but I mean, it was, the watercolor was unbelievable. It was just like 75 degrees and perfect. And I was like, man, this is why we live here. This is why we do it.
Did you dip your toe in the water?
I did not.
No.
Way too cold.
Yeah,
kidding sure. me? I mean, Sabrina went up there. I was like, don't do it. And she came screaming, running back. I was like, see? Probably like 40-something degrees now.
Everybody's into the cold plunge these days.
Yeah, no. I did. Hey, remember, I jumped in the ocean at the kickoff to summer a couple years ago, and out. Wasn't that bad, actually. If you just go in and out, it's fine. I mean, if you stay in there for a while, it's a problem. But if you're in and out, you're good.